Is that testimony? I'm going to serve God, dying to self, living under the Lord Jesus. Amen. Look at John chapter number 4. Let's start reading down in verse number 46. John 4, it's verse number 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water fountain. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was coming to Judea and to Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down here, for my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go down. Thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of the hour when he began to attend. They said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Father, thank you for letting us be in the house of God tonight. Lord, thank you for, Lord, the folk that have come to seek you. And Lord, we come to hear more than the preacher tonight. We come to hear from you. God, I pray you do what you can. We plead the blood of Jesus and pray to God that you'll effectually work in every heart this evening. May this be a night that would change somebody's life. Yes. Lord, they might come to know you and enjoy the glory, the happiness, and the goodness of God in their heart by receiving you. God, stay on the message. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There are many different miracles that Jesus performed, and they're all testimonies of the fact that he was more than man. He was God the Son. Yeah. Throughout the Gospel of John, there's some seven different miracles, and all of them show different aspects of the divine power of the Lord Jesus. But I'm going to say his miracle working power didn't stop when the Lord ascended to heaven. Amen. He's still working miracles in life.
Amen.
I'm standing before you tonight, from the Lord, saying to somebody like me, call me to preach the word of God. And God can do a miracle work of grace in your life. Make your life beyond hope or beyond help. I'm glad the Lord can do it seeking abundantly above all anybody can grasp. Now, this is the second miracle that Jesus did recorded here in the Gospel of John. And it was the miracle of the healing of the nobleman's son. Now, this nobleman had interaction with Jesus. There's some miracles that he performed where people didn't have interaction. In other words, they didn't ask him to do it. He did it by the thing of the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fishes. He just did it. Nobody asked him to do it. But on this occasion, this nobleman asked him for help. And as a result of him asking him for help, Jesus did a mighty work in his life and in his son's life. Not to say that if you want God to perform a miracle in your life, I believe you need to interact with him. I believe you need to call on him and ask him. He said, you have not because you ask not. And he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I just wonder tonight, if you're interested in God doing a work in your heart, giving you joy, peace, grace, cleansing of sin, giving you purpose of life, giving you a reason to get up in the morning, And I hope when you go to bed tonight that the Lord's going to keep you. If he comes during the night, if you die, you're going to be ready to meet him. Are you interested in God and in the things of God? There's a lot of folks that are not even interested in the things of God because they really don't believe that there is a God, but they wouldn't be a believer. All of the big dreams to say one second, hell, you'll be a believer in hell, you'll believe in God, and you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. Right, it's good to get it settled on this side.
Amen.
Now, why don't you look, first of all, in verse number 46, at a previous record. Jesus is left Jerusalem, and he's headed now to Cana of Galilee. And notice in verse number 45, he said, then he was coming into Galilee. The Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they went unto the feast. Now, this was a place that was open armed and wanted to receive the Lord Jesus. There were places where they wanted Jesus to leave. I think about there again, where the legion was saved and the devils were cast into the hogs, and they besought Jesus, leave us. And again, the Pharisees often ran him out. They didn't want him. And if you don't want God, you don't have to worry. He'll pull himself out. I remember back 9/11 years ago, Franklin Graham's daughter was being interviewed by one of the news media. And this guy said to her, said, now, if you say there's God, if there's God, why did he allow this to happen to us? He said, well, sir, God's a gentleman. And we have taken his commandments off the courthouse wall. We've asked him to remove himself from our society.
Right.
We've rejected him, but we don't want him. And God's a gentleman. He will withdraw himself. When he does, he withdraws his protection, and things like this happen. Preach in Europe. Man, it's hard to preach in England, Scotland, and Wales. The Holy Ghost is grieved and quenched. I believe the Lord is pulled out of them. They're being turned over to Islam and all kinds of things. I'm seeing across America where people are more interested in flesh and in self and entertainment and in living for themselves and not giving God even the time of day. And if you don't want them in your life, have to worry. He'll pull away from you and he'll pull back. But here we see that these Galileans did what? They received. And if you want it in your life, you've got to receive it. Bible says in John 1, to as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name.
Amen.
I want to ask you, if you like these Galileans, if you opened your arms,
amen.
If you received Jesus, if you said, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, my Savior. Well, these folk had done that. Well, we see that this man came to a touched place, a place where the Lord had touched and blessed by. He'd already performed one miracle by turning water to wine, and no matter what else he had done there. But this was a place where it was marked by Jesus' pastime. Jesus did this. And boy, the word got out. Well, did you know what Jesus did when he passed our way? This church is a marked place. There's some folk here that can say, hey, the Lord's done a work in my heart.
Amen.
God is helping. I believe you might be a marked people. Let me tell you what Jesus did when he passed by. A lot of folk don't have a testimony because a testimony means if you have seen something or heard something, experienced something. And a lot of folk don't tell others about Jesus because they don't know Jesus and they do not have a testimony of Jesus. But here was a place that was marked. I don't remember there was a people that was marked. It says in verse 46 and 47, and when he heard that Jesus was now leaving Judea and coming into Galilee, he said, oh, so that's where he said, I need to come to him. Somebody put the word out. You know who's coming to our town? You know who's coming our way? Who? Jesus. Jesus is coming your way. He sure is, sir. What a boy that's in bad shape. He's about to die. And you say he's there, he sure is, and I believe that he will work for you and do for you. Oh, God, I'm glad that somebody told people where Jesus was. And what Jesus was doing. My faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And here we speak about a deal here. Let me take the word Jesus. Then. He passed by. He's in my heart. He saved me. I can take the word Jesus. I can tell you how to get to him. The Bible says, Thessalonica from them sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but unto the other places that the faith was talked about throughout the world. They sounded the gospel trumpet, and they let people know, hey, Jesus is who you need. Jesus is what you need. I believe maybe tonight some of you might be here because somebody told you, hey, God's doing a work. God wants to do a work. He'll do you. And this old boy got that word. And with that word, he knew, believing that God would help him.
Yeah,
if you believe tonight that God will help you,
yeah,
you know, preacher, I believe the Lord helped you. Yes, you know, you can believe God will help you. God will do for you. God will minister to you. You're not alone. You're not pushed aside. Boy, I could call the some king or some pope today or some, they wouldn't even answer my call. I'm glad, thank God, I know one that answered your call.
Amen.
If you hear the gospel sound, it's because God is calling you.
Amen.
And so we see a previous limp. But now, look at verse number 47 at this prayer request. Now, this man was a nobleman that prayed. A nobleman was a small king. He was in the court of Kerry. He was a royal man. He was a ruling man. He was the man off the street. He was a man that had some pull and some power. But even men with pull and power and clout like he had, know that they have needs. They have spiritual needs. They need to be saved like everybody else.
Yeah.
It don't matter if you're drunk on the street or you're a king in the palace. We all need the same thing. And the ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
This nobleman got a glimpse of the fact that Jesus had just what he needs. Joker, Jesus had just what he needs. Amen.
Man.
I'm glad that he does. He's got this example. He came some 25 miles from Capernaum up to Galilee. 25 miles. Now, I don't know if he rode a horse, a donkey, a look, a walk or whatever, but it was a good day's journey for him to get there. He put forth some effort. And you know, you had to put forth some effort to get here tonight.
Amen.
Hey, you didn't just float here. You didn't just pop up like a mushroom out of a pine thicket somewhere. You came because you lived here.
Amen.
You got rich, you got cleaned up, smelled up. I don't smell nobody stinking tonight. So maybe that's good to everybody. But, you got prepared to go.
Amen.
He said, yeah, pick it up. Yeah, come by and get me. Yeah, let's go, honey. And it's because you think that maybe there'll be something waiting on you. That guy traveled all this distance, hoping maybe that Jesus would do something for him and would do something for his family. But he came about. Now, look at the mission. He asked the Lord, he said, would you travel back 25 miles with me now? Would you come down air, night, sun, down? Would you please come down where I'm at? He was thinking that Jesus would have to lay his hand upon his son in order that his son might be saved. His son was at the point of death. I mean, he was there on death's door. Death was knocking on his door, and he knew that that boy was dead. You know, when we pray for our friends, and we pray for our children, we pray for others, you need to realize they're at that point of death. Not just at the point of death. The Bible says that you're dead spiritually in your trespasses and in your sin. The devil said, ye shall not surely die to Adam and Eve, but God said, ye shall surely die. And that made a nothing spiritually. You know, the reason natural men can't understand God nor the things of God is there's a death upon their soul, their spirit. They're spiritually dead, and they need to be quickened, made alive by God. It's how we, like this nobleman, have to pray for others, that God would get a hold of them, God would deal with them, and show them that they're... You just go through life in a natural course and a natural way. You'll not understand the danger. I read the Pilgrim's Progress, and there was a man called Atheist that was traveling down the road, walking the things of God. That old Atheist was right on the very verge of the cliff. He was blind and stepping along. He was 1,000 feet down, and he was ready to fall any time, and he didn't know how close he was to the danger of just falling in. Sinner don't realize how close they are to the danger of dropping right off in the head. You say, oh, preacher, I've got plenty of time, do you? Do you? That little third grader I preached to you tonight, well, she had plenty of time. On Monday, on Tuesday, she's on the flight now with a brain aneurysm and got a tumor in her brain. A friend of mine thought he had plenty of time going to a dollar store to get a gallon of milk. And his mom and him, she's in eternity, and he's beat all the pieces that time. You just don't know. That busload of kids, 37 kids on a bus just this past week, that's going down to have another certain event, are all in eternity, and they all met God. You never know. You see, he said he's at the point that he's on the verge of dying. There is but one step between thee and death. There's but one breath between you and eternity. And here's the deal. None of us are going to escape. All these medical people that never found a cure for death. Don't believe I'm going to walk on the road, which is a great one. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall not. He says, the wages of sin is death. And God said, it is appointed unto men once to die. It's not if you're going there. It's you are headed there. What kind of space God gives you, don't know. He said about Jezebel, Revelation, I gave her space to repent. And she repented not. So God cast her into hell. God gives you a little space, and that space is mercy, and that space is grace.
Amen.
And only God knows when that time comes, or when that day is over, when your opportunity is over. Son, and you have to be 90 years old. Son, you have to be 9 years old. I have no control of that, neither do you. And God's got a little bit of you and said, how about if I take your life 2 weeks from now? He's not going to ask you. He's not going to ask your mom and dad, your friend, or anybody else. So he gets ready. You're going. So I don't like it. He's God. Besides him, there is none else. It's reckoned and get ready to meet God. And this man is burning about his son. Said, he sticks in the back. He's not ready to die. Look at him. Would you help him? Fled for action. Serious about it. 10 miles, 25 to make a prayer request. It's serious about it. You know, when Zion prevailed, he was serious in their prayer. The Bible said that the Lord would hear that children would be born into the family of God. Verse number 48, we read again how Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Giving him an examination. Are you looking for signs and wonders? Is that what you're after? He said, if you don't see that, you won't believe. And the man sort of answered you with a plea. Lord, just please come down there, my child died. What do you want? You just want to see some miracle? Like Herod wants to see a miracle? You want to see the circus, the sideshow? Or do you want to really see me do a work in your boy? What do you really want? What do you expect? You expect the leaders to walk into your house and your family and neighbors get around and me touch that boy and see him jump up in the eyes or something? What you're after? I said, no, sir, that's not what I'm after at all. I'm not looking for circus or sideshow. I am looking for you to help my boy.
Amen.
That's all I
am.
However you want to help and whatever you want to do, that's what I want. Lord, I'm committing this unto you. And he makes that plea respectful. He says, sir, The word servant, the word lord, means overseer, ruler, boss. You don't need any help from God. You're going to have to bow your knee to Jesus.
Amen.
Bible says every knee should bow and every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then it says every knee shall bow. Every knee should bow. That's your opportunity now. But you just bow your knee here. You will bow if it's in the nation. You will bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess that he has you will proclaim him as Lord. I want to ask you to bow your head and your heart before him. He's respectful. His request is come into my home. Come into my life. Please reach down and touch my child. You want God in your life. You know, one of the greatest items that used to be sold throughout the nation was a family Bible. And yet, that used to have fellas knock on your door. He'd be standing there. He'd be the Bible salesman. Everybody wanted a family Bible because, well, they were riding, going up. They had a token to say, hey, I'm the God in my life. I wonder if you got a family Bible. If you got any tokens in there that say, yes, I want the Lord in my life. I want him to be at the center of my home. Hey. This old book says, I need you, but I want you. And then he said, I'm relying on you, Lord. If you don't do something, my child's going to die. I'm looking to you for help. You're the only one that can help. Well, there was a moment in my life where I came to the place where I understood that I couldn't help myself, that I couldn't save myself, that my friends, I couldn't get in on their religion, that I couldn't get in because somebody else did, that the Lord was going to have to do a work in my heart.
Amen.
He's crying out to the Lord, come down, sir, heal my child. I'm looking for something to do on that. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son will. How about that? Sixth word. Go thy way, thy son will. And the Bible says that the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. Power was manifest on this boy because of the request of another. I believe that we can pray Holy Ghost conviction down. I believe God will work in other people's lives when we really get down to business and get to praying for them. Well, I worked with one time in the old place. Shot come in on Monday morning, his eyes were red. He looked at me and said, you didn't pray for me. I said, I have told you. He said, I wish you'd quit. I said, why? He said, every time I closed my eyes, I said, I think I'm going to hell. Boy, he didn't know it. I mean, he just put gas on my eyes. I'm glad it didn't have to be praying for him. Because he would not suffer from
him.
And God will deal with us. We really need to have a business and get the praying for him. And the Lord said, hang on, I'm going to manifest power to your son on your behalf because you have asked me. It's a song that said somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. Yes. They sacrificed their time. Thank God somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody's praying for you right now. Yes. He said, oh, we said quit. No, you don't. We said quit. You want the Holy Ghost of God to work in your heart. You may not understand it. You may not even know why. But if somebody loves you enough to really pray down the power of conviction on your soul, you better thank God somebody cares about you. This world don't care about you. This world will take a virtuous young lady and accuse her and make a prostitute out of her, put her into this a market of flesh in this day. Take a young man and drink him up, dump him up, and ruin his life. Take a mom and a dad, ruin and wreck their homes and destroy their homes. The devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, when I was in Australia preaching, when I was enslaved at the gas station, and I was going to be ready, I don't want nothing to do with God. I don't care anything about God, and I don't want nothing to do with it. And I said, hey, what soured you up on God? She said, well, my son died, and said, I'm mad at God, but God took him. Well, I talked to her a little bit, but she didn't want to hear it. I went back to the car and we traveled down the old Scraven Road and I told Brother David Cotton, I said, don't have to give me something to get these folks. And there's several folk I've talked to that said that same thing. And immediately God gave it to me. I'm going to tell the next person that says that, I don't like God, no one, God, because this tragedy happened that crazy. I'm going to say, I believe you're blaming the wrong person. Because Satan comes before to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and give it abundant and to forgive you and to help you and give you peace. You're blaming the wrong person. If you have something happen in your life that separates you up on God, you blame God. You're blaming the wrong person. You need to blame the devil and say, devil, get out of your life.
Amen.
Him that will save, him that will forgive, him that will restore. You know, the power of Jesus manifested after he sifted through his prayer. The man made his prayer come down there. I died. Jesus didn't have to come down. Jesus sifted through and got the burden of waiting. I'm glad God interprets our prayer.
Amen.
When you listen to the Bible and you see the sinner's prayer with man, how various they are. It's not a cut and dry deal. Simon Peter, when he got saved, he prayed, depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man. He wasn't saying, get out of my life. He said, I'm so wretched and sinful. I don't need to look on the divine creatures. I am the Lord. Fear not. All of you. And it's for your protection. Another old boy just said, Lord, remember me. Of course, then I'll be more than that. You'll be with me in my kingdom when I stand.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, solid hearts that said, Lord, all he said. Jesus answered him in salvation. You really got a heart's cry and you want to get saved? The Lord saved you. Prayer. But then look at the power that was manifested. Jesus did not confront him to help this boy because he was God. All he had to do was speak the word.
Amen.
25 miles away.
Amen.
And the God would touch him because his hand reaches through.
Amen.
I don't know where you come from. I don't know where you go back to. I don't know how far away you live or what your situation is, but I know one that does know. He knows your down sittings, your uprisings. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows how many hairs you got on your head. You've got them all down. He knows how much you weigh. You would divulge it with your neighbors, but he knows how much you weigh. He knows what your aspirations and your desires are. He knows between thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows all about you.
Amen.
When some of you used to say, you old sinner, you need to listen to your mind the Bible because it knows all about you. That Bible will find us out. But there he spoke the word 25 miles away. And at that very moment he spoke the word, guess what? That boy sat up in the bed. Boy, I feel better. Can I get something to eat, Mama? Well, I'd like something to drink. He gets up out of bed. He's walking around. And he just miraculous. He just made a hole. Just like divine power. Instead of believing God, he said, I believe that you can do a work by the way. I was down on the Amazon preacher. My daughter Rebecca got real bad sick. And I asked the folk that were on that boat with us to pray as we was on the river there. And I said, pray for my daughter, Brother Maji, who was a soft drunk. God saved him, sobered him up, changed his life, become a walking Bible. But Brother Maji looked at me. He quoted that verse in Jeremiah, where Jeremiah, he said, God of hand said, the Lord is not a God far off. He's a God far, he's a God near. I'm glad, thank God, God can answer a prayer. You may have somebody else in another county, another state, or down in another country. You can pray for them, and God can answer that prayer just like they're sitting here in this service tonight. God's a God that is far, He's a God that's near, and distance is no problem with Almighty God. I pray right now for an Aboriginal boy by the name of Keegan, and God puts it in your heart, you pray for him too. 19 years old, I know his family, his older sister got saved out of Aboriginal religion. Of course, she loves God. She's on fire for God. That whole family needs Jesus.
Amen.
He even took me out on the Aboriginal pot. One day, we were my late friends with him. He was fishing one day, him and his little sister, and he caught a fish. And he pulled that fish up as a barramundi. He said, "That'll make a good fish for supper." And his little sister said, "What's that thing?" He said, "I don't know." He pulled it up there and looked at the tag, and it was a $1 million fish. They do a fishing rodeo. That boy called a $1 million fish. He said he fell out on a boat near the next boat to back for the dock. Hallelujah. But I've been praying for that boy. Not because of his money. I'm glad, thank God, that poor man is being blessed like that.
Amen.
But boy, he sent a service to Brother Bill Howell the other day. And really listen to it. Because God saved him, man, that won't respect him so much. And look at him as the lucky guy. But I'm telling you, he can get something better from him. Come on.
Amen.
I'm saying, I'm praying for that. And while it's daytime there, it's night here. While it's night here, it's daytime there. And some of the day I'm praying for, but God is shaking the night.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh, you know what? So, boy, headed back home. We believe God. And in the end, it took his time because it's just a day's journey. But when those servants met him coming down the road, they told him how his son lived, and he said, "Not out." He said, "Yesterday," he began to meet about the seventh hour, which would be 1 o'clock in the day. So that guy had to run until whenever we get all the way back down there. But evidently, he spent the night, took his time getting back down. We're not worried about his boy. I believe he believed God.
Amen.
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 He knew that was the exact law. Jesus said, "Thy son lives." God is in the exact moment of business.
Amen. Amen.
When I got that over, under conviction for my sins, I called on the Lord to save me in that exact moment. The Lord forgave me.
Amen.
The burden of sin off came into my heart, changed my life just like that. Whenever you get saved, you'll have a new birth.
Amen.
And that new birth is instantaneous.
Amen.
Oh, I was sick of going to the house of God, getting the altar, get saved. Oh, Terry Whiteside, man, he came to that meeting, Isaiah's the last night of the 7 week meeting, big old pushy, had a big old beard, and his brother begged him to come. And he'd stubbed up. As a matter of fact, that evening, his brother went over to the house and asked him to come, and he hit him with an uppercut and put him in the yard. Jerry came to the prayer room that night, and his face was swollen. I said, "What happened?" So the brother hit me and knocked me out the yard. He said, "I headed back to the house." He said, "The phone was ringing before I got there, and I picked it up. It was him." He said, "I'm sorry, brother. I hit you, but I'll be there tonight." So he came. Well, Terry told me later on, he said, "I stopped by the ABC store and got me a pint of liquor, breaking conviction off like I've always done." He said, "On that back road, reached that night, boy, here comes that big old fella of blue hair, and saved by the grace of God." He went back out to sit, walked down the steps, up to the board, made his shirt, down in the parking lot, reached under his seat, got that pint of liquor, opened it up, poured it out the parking lot. He said, "I ain't had a drop to break since."
Amen.
God can change your life just like that.
Yeah.
He gave you peace. He gave you joy. He gave you purpose. He gave you a conscience that you know you're right with God.
Amen.
He gave you love in your heart, taking the bitterness out of your life. It can remove the worry and the frustration and fear that builds up on our soul when we're not with the Lord. And in a moment of time, when you turn it over to Him, I've seen people bow on their knees and call on the Lord.
Amen.
Then that gusher just open up, tears flow, and they get up from there and say, it's like lost 10,000 pounds. So it's what will happen when you get saved by the grace of God. And so he was going back down there, and he saw his boy. This had happened to him. Bible says he believed, and his whole house believed. He told them how that boy got healed and what God did. They all got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I watched it come through families.
Amen.
One gets saved, then another, then another, then another. I've seen them. I know up in Chesapeake, Virginia, about this fellow got healed and working in free work, and he's got a limb that broke and killed him dead as a hammer. His church had done a visitation and left tracks and door hangers on every door. She took that, put it on top of a refrigerator, forgot about it until her husband got killed. She didn't know a preacher or anybody in the church. She remembered that. She reached up there to God and called that number. Asked over Ron Harris, said, would you come and help us? Said, we don't know a preacher. My husband got killed. He said, I will. And the minister of that family, she got saved. You go to that church, and now she's on that pew. They got two pews for that family. God has touched and changed their mind. Well, I'll tell you what, not only help you, but help others. You may not have Christian friends, and you might think if I go with God, I don't have any friends. Oh, the devil's a liar. God will give you friends and when you're down, when you got money, when you don't have money. You don't have to be popular. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be rich. You just have to be saved, and people will embrace you and love you and care about you like the world never knew. Have that in the world, man. As long as I had a full tank of gas, I'm taking the town, all my buddies for my buddies. But you let me be it, you be in me. Now, who are you? Yes, man. Oh, my. This old boy's whole house changed. I was in Paris, France, preaching to the lady. I preached along these lines about Jesus, even that fellow 25 miles away. She said, that night, she said, preacher, I've got some hope. I always thought I'd have to bring my mom from the south of France and have her sit on our pew and have our preacher preach to her, for her to get saved. He's a God that's
father.
He's a God that's here.
Amen.
As he worked on that boy, and this is the way we can do that for my mama. Boy, there's hope in this message. There's hope in this prayer. So this was a young man. At the point of death. We know not when they are sort of sick him. But we do know that if you're not saved, the dead trespasses and sin, you need a spiritual life. Salvation is inward, spiritual, and it's new life. And it's not something to be afraid of. Praise God when the Lord saved me. That gave me a clearness and pride.
Yeah,
I don't want to be demons. No. No, when He came in my heart and my life, what joy, what grace. And here tonight, you've never been saved. I'm pointing to Jesus.
Amen.
Not to me, not to this church, but to Jesus.
Amen.
I want to say, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got somebody in your life that needs Jesus. Don't despair, because He get through them. He get behind locked gates, locked doors. He get behind the where folk have shut you out. They can't shut you out.
Amen.
We're going to pray God.
Amen.
God, let's stand all over.
Amen.
This group will come on the PM, please. Got that old song 81. I think you probably played that for a time. You know, I believe you're familiar with that, aren't you?
Oh,
okay. All right. Well, then play whatever the comment report. How sweet the same.
Amen.
Same for it, like me. I'll tell you, there's nobody here tonight, including me. He said, no. No, I know who I am.
Amen.
Sinner, saved
by
me. We're all about our need. Thank you.